Thanks for listening to this sermon recorded at Holy Innocents Episcopal Church during one of our principal services. This sermon was based upon the lectionary readings for the day. To stay connected at Holy Innocents, friend us on Facebook, follow us on Twitter, or check us out on the web. Thanks for listening, and stay connected.
Last Sunday, our rector, Michael Sullivan, began his sermon by pointing out that if he'd been able to choose the gospel reading for his sermon last week, he wouldn't have chosen the one that we read. That often happens to us because the gospel lessons are contained in our lectionary and we get what we get. I'm just saying this in order to assure you that I would not have chosen a gospel lesson on divorce for Episcopal School Sunday. I didn't choose it. I wouldn't have chosen it. But there is, as always, a hopeful, loving message contained within this gospel, and I'm going to see if I can't convince you of that fact in the next couple of minutes. Welcome to our celebration of Episcopal schools in general and of this wonderful school and church in particular. Those of you who don't yet know me, I'm Ned Mulligan. I'm the head chaplain, and I've been here, my wife and I have been here since July, and we are just delighted to be here. This is a remarkable, wonderful, and holy place. The gospel reading from Mark this morning begins a series of teachings by Jesus that are radical and countercultural in the context of the first century and in the context of the Hebrew establishment and their expectations. And frankly, they're contrary to many of our own 21st century expectations as well. The Pharisees in this gospel and in the context of Mark's gospel in general, and today's reading specifically, are portrayed as an overly legalistic and hypocritical group of lay people high up in the Hebrew social hierarchy. They regularly attempt to trap Jesus into saying something or taking a position on an issue that would result in him urging others to break the law, or which might be construed as blasphemous. Time and time again, Jesus responds in a way that makes his point without falling into the trap set for him. His response to the Pharisees this morning is no exception. Jesus' radical response, which incorporates part of this morning's Genesis reading heard earlier and other passages of Scripture, is that man and woman are equal and once married become one. In just four short sentences, Jesus elevates women, who were not viewed as equal in the first century, to be the equal of men. And he makes it clear that the relationship between husband and wife is a sacred bond ordained by God. He next finds himself having to rebuke the disciples because they're attempting to keep away adults, presumably parents, who are bringing their children to Jesus to be touched by him and therefore blessed by him. Children, similar to the status of women, were not high in the social hierarchy in first century Palestine. And Jesus not only accepts them, but uses their innocence and willingness to accept and love others as an example of the way in which his followers then and now need to respond to and receive the kingdom of God. Inherent in his message is that the natural love and connection that children have for their parents is the same type of unencumbered, genuine love that we should all have for Jesus. The teachings continue with the rich man. The rich man who claims to have followed all the commandments and the law, but when told by Jesus that he must sell everything and give all of his money to the poor, he went away grieving. Jesus' teaching here is that this man in particular might have been able to follow the law, but that his heart was not in the right place. This man clearly has a form over substance issue. Jesus concludes the teachings in chapter 10 by saying, "Whoever wishes to become great among you must be your servant, and whoever wishes to be first among you must be slave of all." Radical, countercultural, anti-establishment teachings about relationships, morality, equality, faith, social justice, and service to others in one short chapter. Jesus was then and today continues to be the other voice, in the face of a culture that's become increasingly secular, is often self-centered, tends to ignore the plight of those in need, and frankly has an air of moral indifference. Now to the point. The ideal for Episcopal schools in the 21st century, and from my perspective for our school specifically, is to strive to be that other voice, to strive to be that other voice for society grounded in faith, a voice which openly and unabashedly acknowledges that the other voice of Jesus Christ is our voice. We need to teach students that Jesus is the other voice for Episcopalians, and that even for those who are not Christian, the life of Jesus provides an example of a life worth emulating. The tools we have and use to teach the students include religious, ethical, and historical classes that present a broad range of religious and ethical traditions and viewpoints, while providing Christianity as the foundation from which classes explore those other important perspectives and traditions. We have chaplains serving each of our divisions to ensure what we do in the classroom, worship, the community, and pastorally are true to the other voice and our own tradition, a tradition which has Jesus and the Eucharist at its center. The challenge in our school, the two other Episcopal schools I've served, and in Episcopal schools in general, is that there are often attacks mounted against us originating from a range of secular viewpoints, and often under the guise of concerns raised about inclusiveness. The focus of these sometimes subtle and at other times not so subtle attacks is to try to drown out the other voice and to downplay the authentic Christian message contained in what we say and what we do. The rationale in so doing has included concerns about marketing and competition from other schools that are grounded in non-religious traditions, attempts to eliminate Jesus from school prayers because of a misunderstanding about the universal message from Jesus and what the life of Jesus has to offer all of us, regardless of our own faith tradition. Attempts are made to water down chapel to a mere outline of morning prayer with key theological ingredients such as the confession, the Apostles' Creed, and the Great Thanksgiving somehow removed in order to make the service more neutral, and in the view of those behind their attempted removal, more relevant to those who are not Episcopalians or Christians. The proponents of neutralizing Episcopal school worship, who have been successful in doing so in their schools, have created worship that discards the other voice and makes the service in substance and form hollow and mostly meaningless. Our responsibility as an Episcopal school and my responsibility as your head chaplain is to make sure that what we do is authentic and true to all aspects of the Episcopal tradition, to ensure students and faculty know that there is always the opportunity for an open conversation about what we do, why we do it, and what we mean theologically while we are doing it, while not succumbing to those who would simply change what we say and what we do to avoid the conversation and the opportunity to possibly learn something meaningful in the process. Chapel, like the classroom, is an opportunity for learning, for engagement, and for intellectual, spiritual, and spirited debate. It's a place to learn and experience what we do and what we believe, while neither proselytizing nor making those in mandatory attendance feel they're unwelcome. And finally, the authentic Episcopal educational, theological, and worship tradition, as presented in our school, is literally and figuratively an open and welcoming book that invites students and faculty in, no matter what their own traditions might be. The Episcopal tradition is a tradition that welcomes questions. It's a tradition that welcomes challenges. It's a tradition that continues to evolve as our understanding of God evolves. And it's a tradition that welcomes all to participate together as a community in education, worship, and service to others, all others. Our tradition is one which lives and breathes and has its being only because of the other voice. Amen.